Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We ran it direct, you know, three times in a row, and then we had an option to do either one on the fourth one. So, I as the head coach would like him to do it in those three plays. That way I don't have to make that decision on fourth down. But I do believe that you do have to take it in account for speed. But again, if the look was right, that was going to be a good play for sure.
Yeah, there's always if the look is right. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. All right, Dave. You heard that explanation of it.
Yeah, and it's right, but I would go back to this. One, you know, I didn't like the call in that situation. I gave you my reasoning, right? We talked about where we were at on the field and but I would have kicked the field goal. I mean, I'm going sideways on this thing, but that's just me. I was sitting there at the marquee doing it. And everybody looked at me and says, Coach, what's our decision? And I says, well, I've got fired for being a little bit conservative, but I won a hell of a lot of games. I want to win at halftime with the momentum. Hmm. I'm kicking the field goal and making this now, you know, less than a one-score game. But anyway, that's a side note. But all I would say is, you know, and I keep repeating this. I am on board with Flus and Ryan, these guys, all the way. But, the head coach, I don't want to hear that. I wish we would have run it on third, first.
You don't
want to
hear that,
coach.
No.
I'm the head coach.
You control that,
David. If you call the play,
yeah, right?
If I want that play within the first three plays, I'm going to say, David, run the option.
Run the option, okay,
David. And if you say the fourth down play, we're going to run the option. I'm going to say, David, no, we're not. Right. I don't want to run the option. I want to run the lead or the dive or the belly. I mean, you know, offensive coordinators, all they're thinking about is scoring points. That was momentum change. That was too much was involved in that play to do something unusual, I think.
Let's stick with the head coaching issue. The burn timeout when it was 14-9 and they wanted to kick the extra point. Then, oh, wait a second, they wanted to go for two. Matt Eberflus needed to burn a timeout to make that decision. Should have already been made earlier during the drive. They should have been talking to the offensive coordinator. What did you think of that? And also, where does the quarterback come in? Because I think we're letting Caleb Williams off a little bit here because of the fact he's a rookie. He's doing a lot. But the great quarterbacks, don't they already know that if they score a touchdown here, they're going for two? They're not celebrating a touchdown pass and debating who's going to get the game ball after the game. They're getting their offense back in the huddle, ready to go for two. That didn't happen. So I think, yes, the head coach is responsible, but the quarterback did not help him out.
Well, no, I could see why Caleb did that. I mean, the quarterbacks, most of the time, the young one particularly, they don't know, David. They really don't know what's going on. I mean,
situation, Dave.
I'm telling you, I'm just telling you from experience, they come running off, and then I got to look at them and say, put my fingers up and say, stay out there. We're going for two. But here's the deal. And I was talking with Tony Wise about this. When we crossed the 50-yard line in that situation, whoever was responsible for going for one, going for two, and timeouts, he would say to me, if you're that guy, David, you would say, Coach, if we score, we're going for one. The chart says, I've got to make the decision. Coach, if we score, the chart says, we're going for two. There's no more discussion. We're not debating this thing. Now I've got to make the decision. I know what the chart is saying. And so now all of a sudden we get on there and score, and I'm putting one finger up or two. I didn't understand that. I mean, that was a little bit, you know, Santos ran on. I don't know what happened, but that shouldn't happen. I mean, come on, we got really qualified guys. It's a chart in front of you. It's not rocket scientists. Now, if there's some reason that away from the chart that you say you're going to go and keep it a two-score game, but it didn't make much sense. I mean, to me, you're going to go for two and try to make it a field goal.
So, Dave, we know the Bears have had offensive line issues all year. And before the game, the general manager did an interview with ESPN before the game. And on it, he said that communication, technique, and fundamentals are the problem. They've led to rough performance rather than bad talent. So it's not the talent. It's not like they have a bad offensive line. It is, in his opinion, communication, technique, and fundamentals. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, yeah, I got to believe that, you know, because I know the offensive line coach, and I think the guy's really good. He's going to get the most out of these players. You know what he's saying then is, what's today? Tuesday? Tomorrow, their players are – today's game plan day. Tomorrow, the players come in. First thing that would be on that wall would be full pads. And we are going, guys. We are going to run this damn ball this week, and we're going full pads today. And we're going to have – it's not going to be a scrimmage, but it's going to be a full speed – good on good, and we are going to run the football 10, 15 plays.
So you're going to block off a portion of time tomorrow to talk to the Players Association?
Well, they're allowed some, but yeah.
Wait, no. We get Coach. We are at the crossroads here, Coach.
All right,
yeah. Coach Hall. We are right there.
I love the idea, Dave. I love a little smash mouth. I said it yesterday, and I got called a meatball. But I don't think it's going to happen in today's day and age.
We've got nine practices where we can put pads on.
None of us meatballs called you meatball.
Jeez, meatball.
We're all meatballs.
That doesn't sound like, you know, we used to call it nutcracker or something like that, David, so, not meatball.
So after the game, Eberflus is asked immediately, was Nate Davis benched? Is that what happened? And he said basically that his groin injury had prevented him from taking snaps all week, so they decided that Matt Pryor was going to start the game. The general manager, again on the pregame, said that no, that it was his bigger body would help the center and the tackle next to him. So playing him at guard was like an idea they had to get better as opposed to Nate Davis, but he couldn't practice because of the groin. So they won't admit that they've benched him, and they say that it's the groin injury. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a soft tissue injury. He did not practice last week. But how long do you go on with moving him in and out? You tried to do it with Ryan Bates, and now Bates is on the injured reserve list, so he can't play. So now you're doing it with another guy. Don't you want to move beyond that one?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing different about, God bless Nate, but there's nothing different about him not practicing. You know, we've been saying that for 2 years now, haven't we?
Yeah.
In OTAs and mini camps and training camp and the season. So that, I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit disheartening because we're kind of where we were a year ago, you know, and we don't have the backs or the commitment to run the ball. So I don't know. You know, it's frustrating. You know, and let me say this. I looked this up. When I looked at those stats after the game, and Caleb is going to be fine. I know people get on my case when I say this on the air all the time. You know, I'll get beat up. He's going to be fine. You know, but when we throw the ball 52 times, you know how many times Tom Brady averaged, how many passes a game?
How many?
34 passes a game in his whole career.
Dave, you don't know another stat Brad Biggs shared with us this morning? Since 2015, teams that throw 50 or more passes in a game are 23-141.
Wow.
23-141.
Wow.
Your identity is, as a Bears offense right now, you're lost. You don't have an identity.
And the whole thing comes down to with the quarterback, and we threw for a lot of yards. We can all be excited, but why is Justin Fields, his numbers are not that much different at Pittsburgh except for one thing, guys, not turning the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said when I would be game planning, I would look at the quarterback, and the first stat I would look at is, what's his ratio touchdowns to interceptions?
Yes.
And to be a good player, maybe a wild card type quarterback, it's got to be 2-1 touchdowns to interceptions. To be a playoff quarterback and somebody, Tom Brady and those guys, and I'm not using Brady. Yeah. Use any good Kirk Cousins. I don't know. Just pick one. And look at their touchdowns to interceptions.
Yeah.
And the ones that make a little run in the playoffs, they're generally 3, 4, 5 to 1 touchdowns to interceptions.
This kid now has 2 touchdown passes and he's got 4 interceptions. That's a 1-to-2 ratio.
Yeah, and that was, you know, but my point is,
but that's the wrong 1-to-2 ratio. That's,
absolutely.
That's 1 touchdown for 2 interceptions.
Absolutely. And the whole thing is, what I'm trying to say is, everybody wants to talk about Justin, blah, blah, blah. Well, that Justin's not turning the ball over. Whether it's play calling, maybe they, you know, Arthur yes. Smith's doing a better job. I don't know what it is waiting out there. All I know is he's not turning it over, but he's making runs, and he's not throwing the ball anymore than he did here. I mean, you know, it's – so don't – I don't want to get down that road with you. But I do know that protecting the ball is critical, and sometimes it's something that's overlooked when a guy gets 300 yards passing.
Let's talk about how a head coach sets a tone after a loss like that. Let's contrast and compare what Matt Eberflus said in saying that he was encouraged by what he saw immediately after the game in Indianapolis with what Antonio Pierce of the Raiders said. He saw players making business decisions, and he's going to start making some business decisions. It's probably both extremes. You don't want to be complacent, which I think Matt Eberflus might have been. You want to be scorched earth, as maybe Antonio Pierce was. What did you think about what Flusie said, and what was your approach after a loss like that?
I guarantee you, well, we would be in full pads, and we would have an inside run period. There's no doubt about that. That's.
But Dave, you never use the media to send a message. You always talked about the game. You never threw guys under the bus. You would never try to let the players know you were mad. You would go at them. You would go to a player and let him know that he had done wrong, and you would tell him after the game. You didn't come into the – what bothered me about what Pierce did is, don't use the media as – you got to be able
be
to
direct.
Go. You
right.
go to a yeah. guy and you said, you made a business decision. I saw it. It was the fifth play.
Right.
Or, who knows, maybe the guy wasn't showing up in meetings. I don't know what he means
you
by
– You don't know.
We don't have that information.
Yeah. Right.
But you never use the media to send a message.
No, and you know –
And if you did, you didn't use me, damn it.
Correct. No, I mean, no. you had already left. You were gone. You were moving up to bigger things at that time, Molly. But no, and you know what? It's a little bit like what's going on at Dallas right now. You hear the comments that Parsons is making?
Yes.
He's saying that.
Yes.
He's talking about business decisions. I mean, that stuff is what I would call football-friendly fire. And boy, it's you got to put that out real quick,
but
guys.
But can you be too friendly if you're Matt Eberflus? Can you come out of a loss that bad? And he said he was encouraged. By what, Dave? I think a lot of people wanted to hear him be a little bit more fed up
yes.
publicly. There's a line you have to draw and a balance you have to strike.
I agree.
You don't want to go Antonio Pierce scorched earth, but you can be a little bit more critical publicly without going after specific individuals by setting a tone and saying, you know what? We have a standard, and we just didn't meet it, and we got to be better.
Yeah, I mean, and trust me, Flusie being a defensive coach, defensive coaches, in my opinion – and offensive guys will get mad at me because it's not all of them. It's not the Chan Gailey's, not North Turner's. But the majority of offensive coaches just don't see the run game importance like a defensive guy does.
Yes.
The defensive guy. So Flusie got to look at those stats and says 30 yards rushing or whatever it was. Are you kidding me? Less than 3 yards a carry? I mean, you make...
Dave,
I mean, that's a definite upset the Gatorade table to me.
You mentioned a couple of times that Chris Morgan's a good coach. That's the offensive line coach who, when keeping
yes.
him, they made the run game coordinator. How do he and Shane Waldron coexist? Does a guy who is the run game coordinator get to coordinate a run game? Or are we going to throw the ball 55 times? 56, I'm sorry. There were 4 of them sacked, so it's 50.
You know what? You got me there, Molly. I've never been in that situation as a head coach, as an assistant coach in 40 years where we had 2 guys.
We're together. You and Tony, we're one.
One decision maker, and that's the offensive coordinator. You can cite your opinion. Everybody's got an opportunity during the week to cite their opinion. You know, I mean, we would do it, to give you an example, when I was coaching defense, Butch Davis was in charge of our short yardage and goal line. Greg Schiano, okay, when he was with me, Greg Schiano was in charge of our third down. They would bring it to me, stand on the board, tell me what you see. Coach, in third down, I think we you know, they will run the ball half the time. We got to be ready for this. Okay. And he would make a recommendation. You know, I really like this blitz right here. And I'd say, you know what, Butch, yeah, I see what you're saying, but, boy, I'm just nervous about the contain factor. This guy's too good an athlete. Let's come up with something where we can contain it more, and everything else I'm good with. You know, so you do that, you kind of work it a little bit, but then the coordinator has definitely, and I don't know how the Bears are doing it, but he's got the final decision. Now, critical situation, every coordinator I've been with from the get-go, it's fourth and one, fourth and two, we're on the goal line. That offensive coordinator is talking to the line coach during the game, and I would be listening. And North Turner would be talking to Tony. Hey, Tony, I really like the inside bob play right here. And you good with it? I'm good with it. Let's do it.
Well, I have to say, it's fair to wonder then if that is happening, because you have an offensive line coach who's respected and proven in Chris Morgan, and you have an offensive coordinator who essentially had to inherit the line coach in Shane Waldron. Was Shane Waldron brought here because he had the same agent as Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles? Because he wasn't brought here because of his past with Chris Morgan. And if these guys need to be like this every Sunday, you have to wonder, because of the struggles in the running game, if they're actually like this because of the relationship that did not exist before he came to Chicago.
It's a good question. I don't have an answer on that. You know, I really don't. I just know, you know, Ryan Poles is an ex-NFL offensive lineman. So you'd like, let's give him a little credit in this thing too, or pull him into the conversation.
Right.
That if he, when
let's
he's,
give him a little blame.
When he's watching the tape, you know, I mean, if I sat down right now and we started watching the tape, sure, I can go through every position, but I'm going to dissect that defense inside and out because that's my expertise.
Specialty.
You know what I mean? And Ryan Poles is, that's his, you know, he played offensive line at a high level. He played at the NFL. He knows what offensive linemen, what it takes.
Dave.
He's got to be in this conversation, in my opinion. Maybe not. I don't know.
The Rams come in. They've got the quarterback. They've got the coach. Sean McVay still there. They're coming off a big upset of San Francisco. A must win for them because they started the season 0-2. They are beaten up. They're down three starting offensive linemen. Cooper Kupp already has been ruled out. We know Puka Nacua is already out for the game. He's on injured reserve. So they're missing some of their better players, but they come in here and they're looking to get to 500 as the Bears are. What do you like in this game? How do you view the game? Are you concerned about?
Coach, I'm on the Bears. Okay. I mean, I it was a hard one for me last week. I was all over the Bears last week, telling everybody, you know, I mean, I was touting. I was touting. I was feeling good. I got to do the same thing. Unless, is Aaron Donald coming back this week?
No, Aaron Donald. Dave. There's a coaching deficit here. Big time. Sean McVay's coming. He's still here. Matt Stafford's making the trip.
I think he's a pretty good head coach.
I don't know how you can place faith in the Bears after what we saw on Sunday.
He's taking the Bears.
I'm on the Bears. What's the line? What's the spread?
It's Bears plus 2 in the hook. Is that right? 1 in the hook?
Really?
Bears minus 3 per circle.
Oh, 3?
Minus 3.
Yeah.
Bears minus 3.
Did I say plus
2? Yeah, I don't know.
Bears are favored in the game by 3.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Well, they
win at home, even when they don't score offensive touchdowns.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I like the Bears in this one. Absolutely. But
wow.
I do. I mean, come on.
I believe
we got a better football team than the Rams right now.
Okay.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And we should be motivated. We should be angry. We should be disappointed.
Did they have a better football team?
Did they sound angry? Did the Bears sound angry? Did Matt Eberflus sound angry at any point since they lost and blew that game?
He sounded encouraged.
I know. He sounded, he did not sound ticked off.
You guys are pushing me into a corner.
I'm sorry. We're not doing anything.
David, you're pushing me into a corner.
You are really.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, back off. Right, no one pushes David into a corner.
I'm sorry.
Great stuff, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
But we appreciate your time as always. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.